Madam Speaker, it's a good bill.
Frankly, I'm embarrassed.
The President of the Senate called a hot mess.
Ole Insider is an educational journey through the Washington State Legislature, following interesting and important bills through the legislative process.
This is a serious matter, Mr. Speaker. We're moving the wrong direction here.
Ole Insider is produced by Positive Intentions Media, hosted by citizen volunteers Erica Engelhart and Jay Fratt.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, rising in support.
And it's the right thing to do.
Hey, Jay, we seem to be full steam at this point in the legislature. We've already broke news and uncovered the use of misinformation in promoting a gun bill heard in committee. What do we have to start this week?
Well, this week is starting off hot and heavy. We had a lot of controversy at the end of last week that carried through the weekend with the adoption of House rules and changes, I'd say traditional changes that were made to create the rules that will bind this legislature in this session. So we heard from Chairman Walsh on this controversial Rule 20 to help us understand how that's going to impact the bill-making and passing process in this session. And we were able to squeeze in one bill, SB 5123, that you covered in committee, a hearing in committee, to learn a little bit more about this inclusivity that Democrats are trying to put forth in bills to protect certain classes of individuals. But let's just get into it. I'm Jay Fratt. I'm with Erica Engelhart. This is Ole Insider, produced by Positive Intentions Media. The big controversy this week was Rule 20 and the adoption of House rules for this session. But let's get to Jim Walsh, Republican legislator from the 19th Legislative District. Ole Insider was able to get him on the phone to explain to us what this Rule 20 does in the legislative process and how it impacts the way these bills are going to be heard on the House floor.
Great, let's go.
All right. A lot of questions about this set of permanent rules. When the legislature, both chambers, meet every session, the first day of the session, they operate under temporary rules. The rules deal with processes for floor action, for how debates are shaped, how bills or resolutions or other things are brought to the floor, how they're debated, how they're voted on, and ultimately how they're passed, eventually going to the governor's desk to be signed into law or into budget or whatever. And so it is standard practice that for the first week or few days of each session, you're operating under temporary rules. But then one of the first major actions of consequence that the legislature takes each session is they vote on permanent rules, permanent for the two-year cycle ahead. In every two-year legislative term. That's what happened last week in Olympia, and it was more controversial than it usually is. Normally, the process of voting on permanent rules is fairly procedural, fairly uncontroversial. Occasionally, there'll be a little bit of debate over one of the rules or another, but generally, it's not that controversial. This time was different. This time, Speaker Lori Jenkins and her crew, her leadership team, made some substantial changes to the rules and how the legislature operates. The most significant one, and the rules, by the way, are numbered. They're laid out in a resolution. It's not a bill, but it looks like a bill. It's structured like a bill, except that it has each section is one of the rules. And some of them have to do with how a bill can be shaped and structured. Some of it has to do with who can talk when on the floor. And they go through various things. And in this case, the controversy was around Rule 20, about halfway through the document. Rule 20 had to do with closing debate on a bill or other motion on the floor of the House in Olympia. And some of it's very technical language, but basically it describes how debate can be cut off, debate can be stopped on a bill. And normally the standard rule is that to cut off debate on a bill or other proposal on the floor of the legislature, you have to have a two-thirds vote. You have to have a two-thirds supermajority vote to stop debate. What Speaker Jenkins and her leadership group wanted changed and got changed in this set of rules is that's no longer two-thirds. Now it's a simple majority, just 51% need to vote to stop debate in order to stop debate and move to the vote on a bill or proposal. And this sounds like a small thing, and it sounds like it's just sort of inside baseball and technical, but it's not. This has a big impact on how the Washington State Legislature is going to operate this for the next year or so. And it's going to make a big difference in what kind of bills and how many bills get passed into law in our state. It's a big deal. The simple majority threshold for cutting off debate means that the majority, the speaker, can simply stop debate at any time she wants. She doesn't need any bipartisan support. She can just hit the gavel, bang the hammer, and stop discussion on a bill and demand a vote immediately. And this speaks to some parliamentary maneuvers that have backfired on the speaker in the last few years. There have been a number of bills presented that haven't gone very well for the speaker, and that she's had to either withdraw or hold open for long periods of time in order to twist enough arms to vote yes on these proposals. And we, the minority party, the Republicans in Olympia, have been pretty effective at using debate, at using talking on the floor of the legislature about these bills to create time drains, run the clock out, as it were, to our advantage, to our tactical advantage, to press the speaker into corners of time where she has to put other controversial bills on the floor quickly, and we're able to run the clock out on those. Some people will call what we do a filibuster. Now, to be technical about it, we don't have, strictly speaking, a filibuster. That's a particular tool that other legislatures have, and the U.S. Senate in D.C., of course, has the most famous filibuster rules. We don't have that in the legislature in Olympia, but we have the ability to debate and to talk that we can use similarly to a filibuster, and that's the thing that the speaker wants to get rid of. We tried to debate this change in rules as the rules, it was the resolution, including the rules, was put to the floor for a vote. We went back and forth, but we were not successful in maintaining the two-thirds supermajority. The speaker was able to use her majority on the floor, a simple majority, by the way, to rewrite the supermajority requirement to stop debate. And now, in the rules that were passed last week, the speaker can simply bang her gavel and stop debate on a bill or a proposal at any time she wants. That is going to have major repercussions, because our ability to use time to kill bad proposals is going to be restricted. And the speaker, if she realizes that she's running out of time to get another bad bill passed, will be able to stop debate on Bill A immediately, so that she can get Bill B onto the floor for a vote before time runs out. And that is going to mean more bad bills pass, because both Bill A and Bill B are usually pretty bad proposals. So it's going to make a big difference. It's not just a vanity thing. It's not just that Republican legislators like to get their sound bites and clips talking on the floor, and they won't be able to do it so easily now. It's much more important than that, because it gives the speaker much more control over time. It's been a long saying in politics and in Washington politics and Olympia politics that the majority in the legislature has the votes and the minority has the time. And the tension, the give and take, the check and balance is always that the majority can have the votes, they can pass what they want, but the minority has the ability to talk and to burn time to help minimize the number of bad bills that get passed. Well, now the majority has both the votes and the time. So it's going to make things much more difficult for the minority in Olympia.
So majority rule became even stronger this week at the Capitol. That was an amazing explanation by Representative Walsh, another exclusive for Ole Insider. Erica was pounding the marble at the Capitol, keeping an eye on one of the bills Ole Insider is tracking. Let's go to her report.
One of the education bills we're following had a hearing. SB 5123 seeks to add protections for certain groups of students, including students experiencing homelessness, non-citizen immigrants, and students who participate in the gender identity and gender expression social experiments. The sponsor of the bill, while telling the committee about it, also emphasized that it includes ethnicity, but it fails to mention that race is already included in the protected classes. Some may argue that these are two different concepts, but I would argue that, in the context, ethnicity would be included already with the current verbiage of the law. It would appear that this was added solely to gain support, misleading people to think that people from different races or ethnicities aren't already included in the protected classes. The part of the hearing I would like to share with you today is some conversation between the assistant who introduced the bill in the hearing and one of the committee members.
Senator McKeon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So, sure. In this three separate classes protection, they're listed under each gender expression and gender identity. Certain behaviors, are those all protected behaviors in the classroom?
Would you like me to? I can read the definitions of gender expression or gender identity.
Yeah, right.
Okay, so gender expression means the external appearance of one's gender identity, usually expressed through behavior, clothing, body characteristics, or voice, and which may or may not conform to socially defined behaviors and characteristics typically associated with being either masculine or feminine. And then gender identity is defined as a person's internal sense of being male, female, both, neither, or in between, independent of how it is expressed or perceived by others.
So those are going to be protected in the classroom?
Those are protected classes.
In the classroom, I said, not classes. So that's what this bill is doing. You're protecting the behavior in the classroom.
Yes, the discrimination.
Yes. That's what it's doing. Thank you.
If I understand. Okay.
So just to clarify, you said that they are already protected classes?
So yes, sexual orientation, including gender expression and identity, are already protected classes. The bill separates those into three separate classes and provides different definitions than what's in current state law.
I thought Senator McKeon's question was good, even though others didn't appear to appreciate it. This bill is protecting kids who participate in these things at school and therefore protects that behavior. And here I thought school was about teaching, not displaying or encouraging a child's sexual behaviors. Other inclusivity bills were also heard in the hearing. We started wondering why there would be so many bills that aim to address the same thing. Jay, haven't we seen this with other bill topics as well?
Yeah, the HB 1133, the sexually violent predator bill, was part of multiple bills addressing the same thing in committee. And now Travis Couture and Representative Griffey have dropped another bill addressing sexually violent predators and the laws associated more broadly. So we're going to try to get on top of that within future episodes. Also, the fusion bill that we're covering, 1018, was part of a broader scope that this organization called FSEC, Site Council in Washington State, that's a pathway for permitting. They've helped the fusion energy space become more defined, but it wasn't just our bill in committee that was heard that was planted or as an outside agency, FSEC assisted within the legislation. There were multiple bills heard within committee kind of centering around the same thing, tackling the same thing. So it's interesting what we're seeing where multiple bills will most likely be combined in committee and therefore almost combined into one effort.
Ah, yes. EFSEC. That's the Energy Facilities Site Evaluation Council that brings energy project recommendations directly to the governor. One of the aspects we uncovered this year as we participate more closely to the legislative process are these outside agencies that request and even write bills for the legislator. We have soundbites from the state treasurer and even this EFSEC entity explaining the role of outside agencies more, coming up on Ole Insider.
Let us take a step back and let us reason together.
The legislative process can be intimidating. Let's go through it together.
If you could focus on the policy and not motives, please proceed.
Like and subscribe to Ole Insider on your favorite podcasting app. All resources and show notes will be available for each episode at oleinsider.com.
Mr. Speaker, I've stood up on the House floor repeatedly this year.
You can follow Erica Engelhart on X at For the Good, Jay Fratt on X at Jay Fratt, and Positive Intentions Media on X at PubSec Media.
It is our duty.
I really want to say thank you.